I expect you know that famous Shackleton advert, do you? The polar explorer Ernest Shackleton is said to have put in the newspaper an advert to try to recruit men for his endurance expedition, which he began in 1914, to make the first land crossing of Antarctica. Do you know it? Men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return, doubtful, honour and recognition in event of success. It's a very, very striking advert, isn't it? Didn't actually happen, but very striking anyway. He was at least upfront about the cost and the difficulty, but in event of success, honour and recognition, fame, immortality of a kind, challenge, exploration, discovery, camaraderie, be the best, be with the best. You can see the attraction of that Shackleton advert to a certain kind of person, can't you? Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Jesus, too, is upfront about the difficulty and the cost. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor who plotted against Hitler and who was executed just before the war ended, once said, "When Jesus calls a man or a person, he bids him come and die." There is Jesus' advert. The basic invitation is, follow me. You can see it there in verse 43 of our reading. The next day, Jesus decides to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. We often make stuff, the Christian life, pretty complicated, and often life is complicated, isn't it? But the Christian life is also very simple in a way. Follow Jesus. You could have that tattooed on the inside of your eyelids without fear of contradiction. And that is basically today's sermon. You could sum it up in 6 words. Jesus calls you to follow him. Jesus calls you to follow him. Now I know we'll want a longer sermon, so let's just underline some of those words and meditate on them. Jesus, this Jesus, calls you to follow him. Think a bit about Jesus, what this passage tells us about him. Jesus calls you to follow him. What does this passage tell us about ourselves? Jesus calls you to follow him. What does it mean to follow Jesus? So, if it's okay, that is the plan. If you remember nothing else from today's sermon, it is that Jesus calls you to follow him. So there's the agenda for the sermon. There's the agenda for life, for the rest of the day. Now, when I wake up in the morning, what is top of my to-do list? I mean, there might be millions of things, but the main thing is follow Jesus. Now, if by the end of the day I can say, well, yes, after a fashion, I followed Jesus. Tick, fantastic, basically a wonderful day, even if I've got nothing else of my to-do list done. If I fail on that, virtually a wasted day. Follow Jesus. Maybe we should come back next week and say to each other, well, how did you get on with following Jesus? That's the object of our home groups, isn't it? To seek to follow Jesus, to seek to help others to follow him. Now, of course, there's something unique about this passage. You are not Philip or Peter or Andrew or Nathaniel. They were called to be apostles. You are not. So the apostles are 12 or 30, you know, foundational leaders of the New Testament church. They literally leave everything to follow Jesus full time. They enroll for 3 years in Jesus University during his earthly ministry. You are not, of course, called to that. That would be impossible. Jesus is not here. But you and these first guys are called to the same underlying reality, following Jesus. That is to say, being his disciple, his learner. He is the teacher, Lord, guru, trainer, master. You are the apprentice. Lots of people seem to want to be Lord Sugar's apprentice, don't they? I guess they think they might be rich or famous or whatever, might learn stuff. Far better to have Jesus as your apprentice master, your senior partner. So the Christian life is being with Jesus, listening to him, following him, being like him, seeking to do Jesus' work in his way, joining Jesus' mission, his kingdom, living for his purposes and plans, being included in the family business of Jesus and God the Father. He is in charge, and we are called to stick with him and be part of what he is doing. And it is a wonderful adventure. Of course not easy, but it is the best possible life. Life in all its fullness. It is the life for which you were made. Don't know how you feel about your career. You know, if you could look back at the age of 50, what would you say to yourself at the age of 20? Would you have done things differently? Well, never a mistake to follow Jesus. That is the perfect fit for you. He is inexhaustible. Here is the best ever life-changing opportunity, and nothing matters more. Will you be with Jesus and listen to him? Now you'll say to me, well, that's easier said than done, Vicar, because you've already said Jesus doesn't care. He speaks to us in his word. We speak to him in prayer. Have you opened your Bible since last Sunday? You should. Now, why not try to do 5 minutes of that most days, maybe? That is not wildly unrealistic, is it? And following Jesus also includes inviting others to follow him. Look at verse 41. The first thing Andrew did when he started following Jesus was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And in our own reading, Philip brings Nathanael, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about," and so on. Verse 46, "Come and see," he says to him. Jesus says elsewhere, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We're going to catch people together, Jesus says. Jesus will use us, naturally and spontaneously. Jesus' followers want others to follow him. We have got the best news in the world ever. You can think of having some good news, can't you? You know, the baby's born, or you've won the lottery or something, or you passed that exam. You just want to share it with someone, don't you? The grandchildren have done some fantastic achievements. Good news is for sharing. And it just so happens that we have our guest event things coming up, 2nd to 4th of February, details in the notices, a fantastic opportunity to say to others, "Well, I found, come and see. Will you come to this quiz with me? Do you want to come to breakfast? Shall we check it out?" Pray, plot, invite. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Verse 45, he is the one the whole Bible is about, the one we've been waiting for, the Christ, the Messiah, the long-promised rescuer king who would put the world to right. He is, verse 29, the Lamb of God, the culmination of the whole Old Testament sacrificial system who would take away the sins of the world. He is, verse 26, the one who is far greater than John the Baptist. You know, great, great John the Baptist. Jesus calls him the greatest man who ever lived. Jesus is not worthy to undo his shoes. "I baptize with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit," John says. "He'll make you clean on the inside. He can give you a fresh start." Follow Jesus. He is, verse 34, the Son of God, God's chosen King. He is God come in the flesh. Verse 49, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Now, Bible quiz time, verse 51. Jesus then added I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What on earth is he on about? Now, what Bible passage is this an allusion to? Chance to show off? Jonathan Austin. Jacob's ladder, absolutely. Now, do you remember this story, Genesis 28? Jacob goes for a kip on a stone pillow for some reason. I don't know why you would do that. Sounds a dreadful idea to me. But anyway, stone pillow, dream, vision, ladder up to heaven, angels ascending and descending on him. Okay, Jesus is the Son of Man, the human being, on whom angels ascend and descend. He is the meeting point of heaven and earth. He combines heaven and earth in his person. He is the God-man. He is the ladder. He is the way to heaven. Jacob's other name? Israel. So Jesus is the true Israel, the real people of God, God's true person and man. So Nathanael is an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Jesus is the true Israel. Bible is good, isn't it? So focus on Jesus. He's wonderful, he's inexhaustible. Who else is there to follow? He's the greatest teacher who ever lived, greatest person who ever lived. Think of his miracles, his teaching, his wisdom, his character, his eternal glory, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his reign, his return. Are you bored of Jesus? You really shouldn't be. He is inexhaustible. What is it that you love about him? What grips you about him? What have you learnt about him in the last year? Follow Jesus. Focus on him. Meet him in his word. He calls you to follow him. That is surprising, isn't it? He calls you. He calls me. People like us, with all our foibles and failures, he called Nathanael. He knew him thoroughly. He could sum him up. He saw him while he was still under the fig tree and he said, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Nathanael rightly recognizes Jesus' supernatural knowledge. Jesus is God. God knows all things. Jesus knows all things. Jesus knows you thoroughly and fully. Psalm 139, he knit you together in your mother's womb. He made you. Perhaps you sometimes feel that no one else really understands you. They probably don't perfectly. Often we are mysteries to ourselves, are we not? But Jesus knows us. You can be yourself with him. There's no point pretending with Jesus. You don't have to fake it till you make it. He is Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, to whom all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. So being with Jesus, being like Jesus, doesn't mean obliterating yourself. It's the way of becoming truly yourself. And he calls you, he loves you, despite all your mess and baggage, your past, various ways in which you think you've messed up, your various hang-ups. Now, Jesus already knows all the worst skeletons in your cupboard. He knows about cupboards within cupboards that you don't even know about. You know, that's that DVD of your life that you imagine that contains every thought that you ever thought and every word you ever said that you would be so ashamed if it had to be broadcast in church today. Jesus knows that as he calls you. He calls skeptics like Nathanael who say, ha! Verse 46. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now we don't know much about him, but that is a rather prejudiced statement, isn't it? I mean, he's not quite Trump, I know, but it's not exactly right on in PC, is it? And Nazareth is Nathanael is a skeptic. He takes some persuading. He's perhaps a sort of blunt-speaking northerner. Yeah, I imagine we would say he's the kind of person who calls a spade a shovel. Ha! Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Jesus calls him. He calls you too. So I invite you today to resolve for the first time, or resolve afresh, by the grace of God, and in the power of the Spirit, to follow Jesus. He calls you to follow him. Spend some time reflecting on him, and what it means for you to follow him. Meet him in his word. And pray that God might enable you to walk always with Jesus as his faithful friend and disciple and apprentice. Amen.